Let's return to the subject of submission that we began last Sunday, although this is actually a transitional verse that introduces us to the rest of chapter 5 and a large portion of chapter 6, and it's related to being filled with the Holy Spirit, which is a result of a wise analysis of how we live. Apostle Paul has been teaching us about the importance for the believer to pursue and to develop and to discipline himself into a godly lifestyle. And so in verse 21, we read, the result of being filled with the Holy Spirit is that we submit to one another in the fear of God. Being filled with the Holy Spirit opens up in our life true or genuine or real worship. Part of real worship, we looked in previous verses, is based on the fact that our mind and our heart is to be totally saturated with the will of God. And that, Paul says, is the same thing as being filled with the Holy Spirit. It creates godly, it creates a biblical foundation for our speech, what we talk about, speaking to one another. In psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, which is another way of saying speaking the things of the Lord, speaking the things of the Word. That translates into joyful music that comes from our heart that is sung to the Lord. It leads to thanksgiving, verse 20, and it leads to submission in verse 21. And we noted last Sunday that the word submission literally refers to a correct, a proper, a right alignment, an arrangement, an order in our life. It literally means to line up in order, very much like soldiers do when they are called to get in order, or like kids in school when they have to line up by the door to go someplace and they march single file. Everybody knows their place. Biblically speaking, scripturally speaking, the word submission refers to the authority that God has set up in our lives as taught in the Word of God. There's authority or a structure of authority in every one of our lives, in every relationship, in every role that we have in life. There is a structure of authority. There is a structure of authority for the family that Paul will begin to discuss in verse 22. There is a structure of authority that we find in society. Governments, they're established by God, they're given power by God to maintain order and discipline in society. The Bible teaches us these things. There are scriptures that teach us these things. And thirdly, there is a structure and a structure of authority in the church. We can't all come and do whatever we want to do here. There has to be a sense of order in the way we worship God. One of the psalms says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. There is a beauty when we follow the structure of authority set up in our life as taught by Scripture. And this authority began way, way, way back in Genesis when God first created Adam and Eve and placed them in a garden. God placed Adam in submission to Himself. He placed Eve in submission to Adam. He placed Adam and Eve to have dominion over all of the animals and the creation of God. Of course, Eve decided to rebel against God. Taste the fruit, whatever it was. Adam decided to rebel against the structure of authority in the Word of God and decided to listen to the words of his wife rather than the words of his Creator, God. And so we find that submission, this word, this idea, this text that we have here today, it is something that is very, very difficult for people to do, even for Christians. Matter of fact, I'd like to propose to you today that there is nobody here today that is submissive by character. It is in our character to rebel, to not want to do as somebody else in authority in leadership over us, asks us or teaches us to do. It is human nature to rebel. And the whole point Paul is trying to make is this very point. Unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God,
who gives you power to obey and to submit to the teachings of Scripture, you will not be able to live this kind of life. And the result of that is all these other relationships that he talks about. Family and husbands and wife and children and employers and society and government. We will not be able to live in this structure unless we are given power by God to submit and obediently do as he teaches us to do. And the very example, the very person that went behind us is no one else but Jesus Christ himself, our Lord. We read in Philippians chapter 3 that Jesus Christ, being God, being equal with God, having all the attributes and the character and the power of God, and Jesus was there in Genesis as part of creation, as part of the Trinity. Jesus, being God, being equal to God, he voluntarily, he willingly submitted himself and obeyed the will of his Father, became a man, went to the cross, and died on our behalf as an example for us to follow. And while Jesus lived on earth for 33 years, he did not show any prerogative of what he wanted to do as God in human flesh. He submitted his will to the will of his heavenly Father, even on the last day of his life, praying in the garden. He says, "Oh, my Father, I really would not want to go through all of this suffering, but since this is your will, since there's no other way to save the believers in Hollywood Church that will come to faith one day, because of that, I'm willing to do that." And so he went. And even on the cross, hanging there, the people would walk by and said, "Huh, you're the Son of God. Come down from the cross and we will believe in you." You think Jesus couldn't have done that? You know, we sing a song and it says he could have called 10,000 angels. We read in the Old Testament about the power of one angel destroying the armies of the Assyrians. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers with one angel. And Jesus could have just thought, and instantly 10,000 angels would have appeared. Jesus could have come down from the cross. Jesus didn't even have to go to the cross. But Jesus allowed himself, as the will of God, willingly submitted himself to sinful men to drive the nails into him, to take a spear and drive it into his side. And so that example is left for us to follow. Verse 21 introduces the subject of submission to us. And I want us to take our time so that it would get our mind, because the rest of chapter 5 and chapter 6 talks about it. And later on in chapter 6, Paul talks about putting on the armor of God and taking on the spiritual weapons that God gives us in our life, and to fight against the things that Satan throws our way that are against the will of God. And this whole passage we've been reading, verse 15, "Walk wisely, don't be fools, be smart, redeem the time, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit. Think about and speak about the things of God. Sing about the things of God. Thank God for what he's done. Submit yourself." This is all a result of being filled with the Spirit of God. And I want this thought and this idea to saturate our life and our mind. Paul wants to show us that a Spirit-filled Christian doesn't just have a relationship with God. We do, of course. But we have a relationship with each other. And every one of us has a relationship in life, whether as an employee with our employer at work, or whether as a member of Hollywood Church here, or whether you're a husband and a wife, or whether you're a child today, and you're called upon to obey your parents in submission. Why? Because we fear the Lord. That is the key. The fear of the Word of God. The fear of God and the things that God can do in our life if we disobey. And the example for us is the very Son of God. And Paul will continuously, in every relationship, whether it's the wife submitting to the husband, or the husband loving the wife, or the children obeying the parents, or of employees doing for employers, we do it as to who? As to Jesus. For Jesus' sake. For the glory of God. And so submission, this very word, this idea, it's contrary to our nature. But the evidence, the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life is the fact that we will submit. And submission begins with an understanding of the Word of God. When you're full of the Word of God, when your brain is saturated, when you encounter a situation that you want to rebel against as humans, and you say, I cannot do that. I don't want to do that. I cannot, wives, I can't submit to my husband. Husband, I cannot love my wife like I should, like Jesus loved. In those moments, based on what the Bible teaches us, filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Word of God, you will say, I can do this in Jesus' name. As human beings, we have different personalities. We have different characters. For some of us, submission comes a little bit easier than for others. For some of us, submission comes very, very hard in any relationship. But submission is part of what Paul here says of being wise. You want to be wise? You need to submit. Verse 18, God wants us to know what His will is. Did you know that God's will is that you be submissive? When you read 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 15, read it at home. Read Romans chapter 13, 1 to 7. Matter of fact, I think we should read that. It says we're supposed to be submissive to all of those authorities that are over us, including the governments. And that becomes an example for us in our life and in our church and in our families and in our schools and everywhere where we are. Romans 13, let every soul be subject or submissive or obedient to the governing authorities, because there is no authority except from God. And all the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, anyone who resists the authority is resisting the ordinance or the command or the word of God. And those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. And then it goes on and describes, we'll look at this text when we talk about our relationship to the government, but the function of government. The function of government is to be a terror, a fear, something to fear if you do evil, if you do what's wrong, but not if you live a godly, righteous, holy, sinless life. By submitting yourself to the leadership of the Word of God and the Holy Spirit in our life. We see that God has set up a structure of authority in the church. Remember in chapter 4 of Ephesians, we read, God has given to the church who? God's given you pastors. Why? So that we would teach you, and in teaching you, you would grow up and no longer be baby Christians, but be adult Christians and have victory in your life and live to the glory of God through your submission to the Word of God. We'll look at this later on as we talk about the example that Jesus Christ gives us. Thirdly, there's a structure of authority in the family that Paul writes about beginning in verse 22. We'll look at that beginning next time. And Paul, for whatever reason, begins with wives submitting to parents. But the key to all of this, and let's stop here today, is submit to one another in the fear of God. What does the fear of God mean? You know, the fear of God means two things to two different groups of people. The fear of God means one thing to people who are not Christians. And the fear of God means a totally different thing to Christians. For us as Christians, the fear of God is a reverence. It's a worship. In Scripture, in King James uses the word awe. It's amazement. It's wonder at how glorious and how wonderful God is by working in our life. But for the unbeliever that rebels against God, for the person that does not accept Jesus Christ, the fear of God is a physical fear about what is coming in the future. Punishment, the wrath of God, the book of Revelation, the book of Daniel, when you read about the tribulation that's coming, when you read about the lake of fire that God has prepared for those that rebel against Him, that is fear. And so my question to you today is, what kind of fear do you have? Do you submit because you're afraid of punishment and the wrath of God, or do you submit because you love God, because you love His Word, because this is how you've been taught? That's the key for us to emulate and to follow Jesus Christ. And we'll pick up with verse 22 about wives next Sunday. So you ladies that have husbands, you might want to read ahead in the text and see what we have facing us next week. May God bless his word. Amen.